you grab your seat. Sorry to interrupt your little praise break there. I don't want to be standing in the way of you loving Jesus. That's what we're all about, is recognizing how good He is and how we are now in this place of knowing His greatness. And it's all because of Jesus and what He's accomplished for us. Well, we were going to call this morning Welcome to Summer, but we're like as a little preempt of we're almost in summer, but if you know the season we've had this week, it's all seasons we've had this week. It's been hot. It's been ridiculous. So welcome to summer in a statement of hope or maybe faith, maybe. But we thought we'd just take a little week we finished our Out of Control series, and we thought we'd just have a little one little week in between where we're going to look at some things. And today we're really going to look around the idea of seasons. Next week, we're going to have a bit of fun because we're approaching the silly season, as we like to call it, Christmas. So as we're approaching that silly season, we thought we'd just have a little bit of fun in church as well. So the next 4 weeks after today are gearing towards that, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. We have some things planned, which, yeah, we think will be good. Anyway, so that's next week. But today we're looking at this idea of welcome to summer, seasons. Look at the four different seasons, summer, autumn, winter, spring. Anyone a fan of summer? For you, summer's it. It doesn't beat. You love the hot. There's a few, for some of you, you're like, yep, give me those long nights. I want to be down at the beach watching the sunset into the ocean. Who's with me? Like the idea of ice cream dripping down your arm and then another excuse, you have to get back in the water. I love summer. It's so good. Maybe you're an autumn person. Maybe raise your hand, wave your... If that's you, you just like the idea of finally you get to wear a hoodie again. The heat's over. You like all the pretty changes in the trees. Or maybe you're a winter person. You love hearing the rain on the roof. You love getting all cozy and snuggly. You love maybe camping in summer. You can't have a fire, but you can in winter. Or the last one is spring. Some of you are just like, I don't care. I just love it all. I'm good with it all. But anyone who loves spring, you love those changes, the freshness in the air, cleaning your house. For some reason, spring is perfect for that. Some of you who are maybe like quite orderly and like things in their place, for you, spring could be your time. Well, seasons, we can't escape them. It's going to happen every 4 months. It's going to change. No, every 3 months, it's going to change. We could argue, but the seasons are quite different now, and climate change, blah, blah, blah. But we can't escape seasons. We're going to have a summer. We're going to have a spring. We're going to have a winter. These things will happen. And actually, I would argue to say it's not just for food's sake. You know, we harvest at times and all that. It's not just about weather, it's not just about food production, it's not just about these natural things, but I think seasons happen to our life. We have seasons in life. We have times that feel like summer, we have times that feel like spring or like winter or like autumn, and if we're not sure with what to do with them, we can get stuck in them. And if we're not sure why they're happening, we could get disillusioned or disappointed. So we're going to look at seasons today and seasons in our life and what God says about it and what we can do about it. Seasons, we can't escape, it's going to happen. So let's start in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. The main one we're going to be is in Psalm 1, so we'll have most of them coming up on screen. But this one, Genesis chapter 8, from the very beginning, says verse 20, Noah built an altar. So this is after the ark. And if we think about, if you're not sure who Noah is, God spoke to this guy called Noah, said, hey, build a boat. It's got to be really big. It took him something crazy, somewhere like 80 years-ish, somewhere in that ballpark to build this boat. That's a long season. That's a long time of building, preparing for something. And then he was in the ark. So there's another season of time he was in this ark, locked away for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is after that moment. So Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, everyone say himself. So if God's talking to himself, that means it's okay for Jimmy to talk to himself. So God's talking to himself. So if you're in that boat of you like talking, I find myself laughing at my own jokes in the car with nobody else there. It's just me. I have the time of my life. And it's okay because I find encouragement in Genesis 8, verse 20. God speaks to himself. He says, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil, I will never again destroy all things. Verse 22, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest. There will be cold and heat. There will be summer and winter. There will be day and night. What is he saying? As long as the earth is around, there's going to be seasons. As long as the earth is around, guess where we live? On earth, there's going to be seasons. Yes, naturally that occur in the world, but also there is seasons in our life. If we go to Ecclesiastes 3, one of the smartest people who walked the earth, his name was Solomon, he said this. For a really smart guy, it's a really simple statement. For everything, there's a season. There's a time for every matter under heaven. Everything. When we think about everything, we normally think about the good things. But you know what? Everything means everything. There's actually a time for everything. There's a time for joy. There's a time for sadness. For some of you, when you saw that verse, you were reminded of a song from, I don't know, is it the 70s? And you started singing that in your head. Anyway, we won't go down that track. But this guy, he's saying, there's actually a time for everything. There's seasons in our life for all these things. Psalm chapter 1. Which is where we're going to spend most of our time today, says this, oh, the joys. So this is Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Psalm, if you're not sure, it's a song. I'm not going to sing it, but you can sing it later on when you go over this later. It's a song that we think David wrote it. So it's a song that somebody wrote. So it's not like a theological truth, but it is an expression of a person's experience knowing God. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. Have you ever had a problem with Scripture? And you've read it and you're like, I don't like what it says. Have you? For me, this is one of them. And other people will read this and they'll be like, man, it's so good. But when I first started reading this, previously, or hopefully, I'm convincing myself here, I read that and I'm like, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me who to be around with. You can't tell me. But we could read this as a snapshot of, you know, we know that bad character corrupts good morals, don't we? We know that bad company corrupts. And we could read that and be like, it's telling us not to hang around with bad people. Really, I would say it's more than that. The problem I had was the bit in the middle, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Now, I love Scripture. I found it so useful. But when I first saw this, as a teenager, I was like, are you telling me I can't be with people, but I have to study? I just have to read my Bible. That's it. And I had a big problem with it. And then I grew up a little bit and realized it says a little bit more. In actual fact, it's actually echoing what we've been doing our series on. You actually have control over your life and you choose who you are with. And if we make the right choices, it actually has, like in nature, like in science, there's a cause and there's an effect. And there is also an echo of Genesis where God said to Adam, hey, I've created you in my image so you can be fruitful and multiply. And we see that echoed here. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. There's this picture of being fruitful and multiplying. And it makes sense that we should watch who we're with. And it makes sense that we should study God's word. But I think what it's actually saying is we've got control. And there's an echo about fruitfulness. But if we look at verse 3 again, sometimes we read this the wrong way. We read it like some other Bible verses. And we highlight some bits and we read really quietly the other bits. Like you know that verse where it says God works all things together for good. And we only like to say that bit and then we stop. But the rest of it says, for those according and called to God's purpose. But we only like to shout that everything works good for those who are called according to God's purpose, which is the clincher, right? We've got to take the whole bit. Or maybe this verse you've shouted, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which means I can go and buy that new thing I really want because I can do all things. And then if we get Christian about it, we're like, through Christ, because he's my provider. No, he's not a provider of your debt. You know, we like to read verses and make it fit ourselves. And I think we do the same. I've been guilty of doing the same with this verse. Because here's what it says. If we could have that back on screen, please. It says, they are like trees planted in the riverbank, bearing fruit in every season. And we highlight the trees planted, bearing fruit in every season. But we say really quietly, They are like trees planted. And really, we read this and we're like, that means, God, you're going to give me fruit in every season. I don't want to break your bubble, but there is no tree that bears fruit in every season. There is a tree that bears fruit in its season. And then it goes through seasons so that it can bear fruit in its season. But it says they are like a tree that bears fruit. What is a tree like when it's bearing fruit? It's exactly the same tree when it's in winter. And they are like that tree. See, I believe that what this is saying is it's something a bit more important than the fruit. It's about what's happening on the inside. It's more than the fruit. It's more than the things that we see. It's more than the Instagrammableness of it. Because we like to promote the fruit. But I would actually say that God isn't interested in the fruit, but he's more interested in the who. Which is you, what he's bringing about in every season. And we can live our life focused on the fruit, but I actually believe that we should live our life focused on Christ and what he's doing in our lives in the winter, summer, spring, and autumn, the one that we always forget, or I always forget. But you get where I'm going. Like the focus isn't necessarily on that. No tree is bearing fruit in every season. So for every single one of us, whether we're in a fruit time, like a summertime or a winter time or a spring or an autumn time, wherever we're at today, here's your comfort. God's not stuck in your season. See, God is outside of time. We are in time, which means this, your destiny was created in eternity, but we live in seasons. So who you are as a person, who you are created to be was created in outside of time. Your destiny was created in eternity, but we are living dictated by seasons in seasonal times. And the problem with this verse is we grab the romanticism of it, the niceness of it, but we actually forget the primary comforting focus of the they are like and in every season. Which means we can be like something in the summer, like something in the winter, like something in the autumn, like something in the other one I've forgotten. What is it that we are to be like? It is Christ. It is not the fruit that we are after. It is the Christ formation in my life. The focus isn't the fruit. The focus is actually who God's created us to be. Who will be like? We'll be like those planted there, but there should be an essence of Christ. In other words, the season we're in isn't about what's happening. The season we're in is about who God is building. The season we're in isn't about what is happening in our season. Because we could get distracted in our season and about that thing, but I actually believe God is more interested in who you are becoming through that season. And if we were to just hold on to the season dictates everything instead of Christ. The season is like our main point of reference instead of Christ. And we can be concerned about the fruit, but Christ is actually concerned about your maturity. Because you know the mature plants always produce the better fruit. I've heard the mature vines always produce the best wine. And I believe that Christ is about maturity in your life more than fruit. How do I know that? Because when I read through Ephesians 4, it talks about, you know, the bit where it says there's pastors and prophets, apostles, prophets, all that thing, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to bring about what in our lives? To bring about maturity in our lives. So in other words, God's got this picture for our life, and it's for us to come to a process of maturity. There's going to be fruit along the way. There's going to be good times, summer times, autumn times, winter times, spring times along the way. But the purpose of it all is like this: small, consistent, ongoing steps towards what? Maturity in Christ. Christ formation, not fruit formation. We want to be an image of Christ, not an image of our goodness. We are not based on us. We are based on Christ and who He is. It's not about our flashiness, our professionalism, our own disciplines and all those sorts of things. It is all about Christ and who He is. I've heard it said that you should take careful notice of your eights. If you're in an eight, what I mean by this is if you're eight, if you're 18, if you're 28, if you're 38, if you're 48. I've heard it said that if you're an eight, it's pretty much you're in a transitional period. So you got 2 years of transitional period between, you know, 18 to 20. Because think about it, there's a difference between how you live your 18 to how you live your 20 to 28, isn't there? And there's a difference how you live your 28 to how you live your 30 to 38. So in other words, if you're around an 8, anyone here 18 today? No? Oh, there's, oh, Rick's still 18. Damn, that's how he does it. Anyone 28, 38, 48? Don't want to tell you my 8? So in other words, if you're around an 8, we're going into a transitional period in our life. And we've got 2 years to get ready for that. Why is it that we see some 25-year-olds who still haven't grown up? Because they're still acting like 18-year-olds. They haven't really taken hold of the transition and realized, oh no, there is adulthood that I should have stepped into in that 2 years to get ready for. See, there's actually something in our lives. Christ wants to bring about maturity, not just Christ formation, but maturity in us so that we can actually be beneficial to society and others around us. Why? So that Christ gets all the glory. Seasons are important for us to recognize and get ready for. Otherwise, we become disillusioned, disappointed, and we think our world isn't like everybody else's world. And all we see is the fruit happening in Brock's life. And we're like, how come he's got fruit in his life? How come he's more like Christ? How come it feels like I'm a tree that's just been left out? No, guess what? We're about to go into summer, but on the other side of the world, it's not about to go into summer, which means we don't all have our seasons at the same time, and we don't actually judge ourselves based on the fruit in Michael Laddie's life. We don't base our life on the fruit in Norlene's life. We base our life on Christ and what the formation He is bringing about in our lives. So let's look at these seasons. Summer. Naturally, summer is fun. Summer is a Coke commercial. Long nights at the beach with friends drinking Coke, and it's like, man, I wish I could go to one of those Coke commercials because they look so good. That is summer. It's joy. It's happiness. And if we look at nature in summer, there's fresh fruit that you just love to eat because it's summertime fruit. Except now we live in a world where you can have summertime fruit even though it's not summertime. But you know the difference when it's really in season fruit? That's what we're talking about. What do we mean by summertime in life? Well, we mean happiness. We mean joy. We mean it feels like you're hearing from God and everything's going awesome. Ever had those moments? Feels like you're growing. Feels like, man, this is what it's like to know Christ. Those moments are summertime. Steve last week stood here and talked about a summertime in his life, which is happening now. He said, I've never grown more in Christ than now. Why? Because he's in a summer season. He's in a season where God is speaking. Yes, God's doing so much, and he's, you know, he's speaking all the time, but we just identify it different ways. Steve, he's nodding through the back door. He's like, yep, I'm in summertime. Anyway, here's how we, if we were to pick a word to describe summertime, the season of summer, it's this word. It's productivity. Things are good. Things are going good. Summertime is a season of productivity. If we look to Scripture, the book of Amos talks about it like this. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. What is it saying? There's this overflow abundance that happens in our life. And we're like, man, I didn't even do anything. It's just God's goodness. You know what? That's exactly what it is. It's God's goodness, and it's a summertime in our life. But summer comes to an end. But what should we do with our summertime? Because there's one thing to recognize the season. There's another thing to do something with the season. What do we do with summertime? Here's what we do with summertime. We give Him all praise. We give God all glory because it's Him who grows it. It's Him who's bringing about. What do? With these good times? We celebrate the good times. We should celebrate good things. Don't be scared to celebrate good things that God's doing in your life. Don't be scared to share them, to tell about them. If you're in a summertime and somebody else is in a wintertime, it doesn't do them any good if you don't tell them about your summer. Let's celebrate the good things God is doing in our life. Why? Because He's worthy of that worship. He's worthy of it. We could be like, oh, I don't want to upset the other person. No, God is worthy of the worship, and often we need to hear it from other people. What do we do with our summertime? We give God praise. The other thing we don't do, we don't get cocky. We don't think, oh, it's all because of me. No, no, we recognize it's Him. And recognize, let's not put this on us. This isn't us. Sure, God's doing it through us, but it's not reliant on me. It's reliant on Him. But recognize it's going to come to an end. So autumn comes after summer. Naturally, in autumn, the weather cools. The leaves change and the leaves drop off. What does it look like? What does it feel like? It feels colder. It looks like the summertime is over. Guess why? The summertime is over. And sometimes we don't want to let go of summer. I woke up this morning singing Boys of Summer in my head, you know, and then I started quoting it to Aim. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Boys of Summer. It's the lines from Boys of Summer. But the whole song is about summer's over, right? But there's still this thing of, but it was so good back then. Guess what? We live in a world of seasons, which means we got to be ready. Summer's going to come to an end. And if we're in an autumn time, autumn isn't about looking back and trying to grab hold of summer. See, autumn has still got its moments that are purposeful, right? Autumn, the leaves change. Things look like it's dying. What feelings could an autumn time in our life be? It could be uncertainty, because that was awesome, but I'm here now. Why aren't things awesome now? And we could be feeling uncertainty. We could be feeling maybe a little bit of, dare I say in church, anxiety. We could be thinking, oh, I'm not sure about this. I'm not sure because it was all good there. Why isn't it good here? And we can struggle with the autumn, but actually I think a better way or a better word for autumn, just like we had a word for summer is productivity, a good word for autumn is this, reflection. Reflection. If we look at Luke chapter 2, Mary has an autumn time. And this is right after she knew that she was carrying the Messiah. She knew it. So she had this summertime in her life. And check this, all who heard the shepherd's stories were amazed. But Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. What was she doing? She was reflecting. She had this summertime where she'd given birth to the Messiah, but He wasn't the Messiah yet. That's going to be in another summer. She's now moved into an autumn time, and she kept them in her heart. The shepherds went back to their flocks, and it was just as the angels had told them. What is Mary doing? She's reflecting on what God has done in summer and what God has said. I did say reflection, I didn't say regret. Let's not regret that summer is gone, but let's be reflecting. God, what did you say? God, what are you doing? God, if this is you, so what do we do with autumn? What do we do with summer? We give God praise. What do we do with autumn? I think we give God praise. But we actually create time for him to speak. Why? So we can hold on to what he has said. See, autumn is a time where things have changed and we've recognized it's changed. And in autumn, it's a great time for us to give God room for him to download into our lives. What do we do with it? We hold that in our heart. We hold that in our heart. What do we hold in our heart? The things that are close to us. Let's, in autumn, let's not regret summer's over. Let's celebrate that summer happened and know that God is with us and that we're making room for him to speak again so that we can hold that in our heart. You know, this whole time between summer and autumn, there's a thing that changes and it looks like, you know how some trees, it looks like they don't want to give up their leaves? It's like, you know, every other tree is dropping them, but some, I know some trees have leaves all year round, but the ones that are meant to drop their trees, it looks like they're just hanging on. You know, resistance is a good thing. And I've heard it said that often in the place of resistance is the time of revelation to drop. It's that time of struggle. God, what are you doing? But if we just regret and if we just get angry, but we don't reflect, there's no revelation what God wants to bring to your life about the next season. Animals themselves. Pete and I have been listening to some series about wolves, and animals themselves will thicken their fur. Why? Because they're getting ready for winter. They've recognized, yes, yeah, summer's over. I'm going through this process of there's a change about to happen again pretty soon, so they get themselves prepared. Winter. Naturally, it's cold. Looks like nothing's growing. It looks like nothing's growing. On the surface above the soil, it looks like the trees are dying. But below the soil, we know they're not dying. They're alive and healthy. What are they doing? They are doing the base essentials. What are they doing? They're keeping alive. In other words, a word we could give to winter is pruning. In other words, the things we don't need to get through winter, we get rid of them. Why? Because we're just doing the base essentials. What do we need? We've got that word from God. We're hiding it in our heart, and everything else we can let go of. Why? Because it is a season where God is still here. Winter, a winter time in our life could be a moment of an emotion of sadness. It could be loss. Winter times in our lives could be like, it feels like things are over. It feels like things have grown cold. It feels like this. And it feels heavy and dark. But you know what? Pruning isn't a bad thing. Pruning's a good thing. The trees that don't get pruned in winter will still bear fruit. It'll just be smaller fruit. And the cold times, the times where it feels like it's darkness, it feels like it's dead, it's actually where that base thing, that base truth that God spoke to you in autumn is about bringing about a whole new strength to that tree. Winter time isn't a time of darkness and alone time. You know when you sleep best? In the dark. What is sleep for? Rejuvenation. Darkness is actually a good thing for your body too sometimes. Not forever, because, you know, mold grows in the dark and stuff like that. Another thing we've noticed about Australia is our population generally spikes around March and May, which means for us in Australia, winter is a great time for sex because we get all these babies 9 months later in these times because winter is a time, when we think about it, it's dark, close, intimate. Some of you are feeling uncomfortable because you're like, oh, come on, Dan, settle down. But you know what I'm saying? There's an intimacy that we should get closer with God. And in the heat of summer, when it's all joy, we're giving God praise, but let's be honest, we're just loving life. But the moments of intimacy are in the quiet times. And the winter isn't about death. The winter is about closeness with God, about what he's bringing about again and again and again. What do we do with winter? Well, I think we just get close to God. And we don't get upset that we're not growing because it's not our season for growing. Let's not get upset we're not growing. Let's not get upset that everybody else is growing. We shouldn't be growing. We should be close and intimate. And you know what? I'm gonna go back to the sex thing. The baby doesn't happen straight away at the point of sex, does it? No, because there's something that happens in that moment which brings about the growth later. And in our moments with God, let's not expect, oh, because I've had a moment of God, it should be now. No, that moment of God was about intimacy. He's going to bring about fruit later on in that season. Now it's probably a great time to announce that Rick and Emma are 14 weeks pregnant. How great is that? So good. So proud of you guys. Just while everyone's feeling awkward about sex, Rick and Emma flying the flag. Yeah, we're doing it. So good. We're so excited for you guys. Love the way you hold on to Jesus and just boast Him in every season that you guys walk through. You're champions. We're with you guys. Winter, what do we do with it? We don't get upset that we're not growing, but we strategically think, okay, God, I'm getting close to you. Why have you said that? And let's get some things ready. Winter is a great time for strategically thinking, what is God doing in my life? What needs to change? What don't I need anymore? Prune it off. Strategically think, what is God shaping me for? What am I currently doing that actually isn't part of what God has called me to and isn't where God has placed me? It's a great time for pruning, getting rid of those things that we don't need and heading into springtime. In other words, we don't give attention to the things we can't see. In winter, you can't see the fruit. Don't bother looking for it. Don't give your attention to that. Give your attention to Christ and what He is doing in our lives. But you know what we give attention to? The thing He said in autumn. Don't give your attention back to summer. I'm like, oh, I wish I could grow like that. No, give your attention back to what He planted in your heart in autumn. Plant it deep in your heart. Fix our thoughts on Him. Plants that aren't pruned in summer, I mean, in winter, will still grow in summer, but they're just going to grow smaller. Springtime. Springtime. What does it feel like? Oh, it feels fresh. Deep breaths of goodness. Oh, it just feels good. All you springtime people, you're like, yeah, let's clean the house. Or maybe like spring for you is like, you know, leaves are sprouting, the flowers are popping. It sounds like the birds are singing more, all that sort of stuff. Springtime in our life, what does it feel like? It feels fresh. It feels like there's hope again. It feels like there's an anticipation for what's coming. Springtime is this time of, if summer is a time of, let me get back to my notes. If summer is a time of productivity and autumn is a time of reflection and winter is a time of pruning, then spring is a time of preparation. Preparation for what? It's preparation for the summer. It's preparation for what's coming. It's preparation for the fruit. See, it's that hope that this is coming. You know, we don't just hope that things are going to get better. We have a hope, but we prepare. We have a hope, but we are getting certain of. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. That'll come up on screen. Oh, man, how good is Floyd? He's on it. Enlarge, Isaiah 54, verse 2. There's a whole heap more to this, but this is just a little snapshot. You can take this home and read it later. If you're in a springtime in your life, read this chapter. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense. What is it saying? It's saying, hey, get ready for growth. Get ready for growth because you've done the pruning, you've cut back the stuff you don't need to, but now there's a preparation for what's about to grow in your life. What do we do with spring? We praise God and we prepare. We say, okay, God, based on my intimacy with you, and my time with you and my questioning of what you've spoken, now, God, give me your wisdom in how to best prepare for what you're about to bring in. Maybe, like me, you get caught up on the fruit of summer and you're just like, oh, that's awesome. Why can't we be like those people who just chase summer around the world? But I actually think that the benefit of summer is because of spring and winter and autumn. The benefit of summer is because of the other 3 months. See, summer isn't just about summer. It's a result of the other seasons. For us as a church, we're actually in a spring season. We've been going through this time of preparation. This whole year, we've been preparing for things. I've felt that there's things happening that we've had to just prepare for. The most I can say is it just feels like spring. It feels like spring. February, on the 10th of February, we're going to have our Vision Sunday. And we've been preparing for that this whole year. You know, this whole small steps of progress, it's preparation, it's springtime. God spoke that to us back at the beginning of this year. And I believe that February 10 on our Vision Sunday is going to be a changing of the season. We've been in this time of preparation. Here's some good pointers, because here's the truth of it. We're going to find ourselves in all of these seasons, right? We're going to find ourselves in winter. And across this room, there's a whole scattering of seasons. And we could avoid them, or we could pretend they're not there, but the truth is they are. And if we don't actually engage with it, some of us, like, our winter takes too long. Winter's only meant to be 3 months. We could hold on to our winter, or we could hold on to our autumn in bitterness and regret because our summertime is over and our autumn goes longer than it needs to. But here's some things we can do, some helpful things. First one is this. You can't pray your season away. Don't pray your season away. Don't be like, God, get rid of my winter. No, just get through the winter. Okay, don't pray your season away. In other words, you have control over how long you stay in your season. If we look at the Israelites, they did an 11-day journey in 40 years. 11 days in 40 years. And we can be like, you stupid Israelites, you should have known better. And the whole time is we're in our season and we should be over there by now, but we're stuck here because we're in regret because our summertime is over, not knowing God's just saying, hey, won't you shut up and let me drop some fresh revelation into you? You hear what I'm saying? We don't pray your season away. You have control over how long you stay. I'm writing a Dr. Seuss book at the minute. Anyway, Nick Reske, who's a friend in the Acts Global Churches, he says this, pain is God's shovel to dig character deeper in your life. Don't pray it away. Just allow him to dig character deeper in your life. The other thing we can do that's helpful, first one is don't pray it away. The second one is this, you can't run ahead of the season. You can't outrun it. You can't say, oh, this feels like autumn. I'm just going to blast through these two and get back to summer. You can't outrun your season. If you're not sure about this, Google Abraham and who is his wife? Sarah. Is that who is his mistress? Hagar. Yeah, Google them, Abraham and Hagar. Abraham tried to run ahead of the season. It wasn't season for the fruit yet. He tried to run ahead. It didn't work out. It didn't work good. We can't pray it away. We can't run ahead of it. The other thing is this, delay does not mean defeat. Delay probably just means winter. It doesn't mean defeat. Doesn't mean it's dead. It looks dead above the surface, but below the surface, it's growing. It's time for pruning. Delay doesn't mean defeat. If we were to go back, maybe the band, you guys can come back up. If we were to go back to Genesis 1 again, Floyd, that'd be super helpful. Have a look. Oh, actually, yeah, no, this is the one. I'll never destroy all living things as long as the earth remains. There will be planting and harvest. There will be cold and heat. There will be summer and winter. There will be day and night. These words from the Hebrew language, this is what summer is. Kayitz, which means to pick fruit. Winter is horef, which means to harvest grain. So in other words, God's saying in summer, I'm going to give you fruit. In winter, I'm going to give you grain. What is he saying? He's saying that it doesn't matter what season you're in, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to give you what you need for that season. You don't want to eat heavy breads in summertime. You want to eat them in wintertime because all the animals are getting fat, so it's just a good time for you to do that too. What is God saying? He's saying, hey, whatever season you're in, I'm going to give you what you need. Don't worry about the fruit. Worry about what I've spoken. Worry about intimacy and worry about preparing for the next season. I've got your back is what God is saying. God is not preparing a promise for you. He's given you the promise. He's preparing you. He's not preparing a promise. He's not saying, I've got another promise for you. No, he's got everything for you. He's preparing you in summer. Enjoy it. He's preparing you in autumn. Give him praise. Get close. Wait for the drop. He's preparing you in winter. Get close, dark and intimate with him. He's preparing you in spring to prepare for the next summertime. How about we stand? I want to close with this. Do you know what dictates the seasons on earth? Where earth is around the sun. In every season, the sun is there. If we get spiritual and make it spiritual, who is the sun? His name is Jesus. He is the Christ. He's the reason for the overflowing wine. He's the reason for the changing into autumn, because he's the Word. He's the reason for the changing into winter, because he is our base essential that our life source is from. It's not about what's happening above, it's what is happening below. Our foundation is Christ. Who is he? He is the Son, and he has everything you need in every season. Earth moves around the sun. What if we were to live our seasons around the sun? Maybe you're in a summertime. We're going to come to a moment around the sun right now. Maybe you're in an autumn. Let's come around the Word. Allow him to breathe revelation into you. Maybe today, maybe when you leave this place, maybe the revelation's actually going to come when you catch up with somebody else for lunch this week and you open your life and you say, hey, won't you walk this journey with me? And maybe they're just going to bring an encouragement that is straight from heaven, not from them at all. Or maybe you're in a winter time. It's not about darkness or death. It's actually about intimacy and closeness. Maybe you're in a preparation time. But I think let's be careful in our preparation that we don't get fixed on the preparation, but we still fix our eyes on Christ. God, what do you want me to prepare for? He's there in every season. The sun, the sun, the sun. John chapter 15, we talk about it all the time. Abide in Christ. Stay connected to him. Why? So that we can stay connected in every season, in the celebration, in every single season of our life. This moment is about the sun. If you don't know who Jesus is, then you could still be going through seasons and you could be angry and not knowing why things are happening in your life. I believe that we go through seasons whether we know Christ or not. I'd just much rather go through seasons around the sun. Let's just base our life on him, center ourselves on him this morning. Why don't you guys lead us in worship? And how about we just wait for his word, or we just celebrate how good he is, or we just get really close, or we say, God, won't you show me what you're preparing for the next season? This moment is about the sun. Let's worship.